Welcome and Sabah blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. On this Sabbath, April 19, 2025, this is our review for Chapter 85 entitled By the Sea. Once more, this is our Part 3 of our Lesson 432. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. Let me just do a little movement of that. We are going to ask our dear brother once more to bless us with the Tiny Tot theme hymn entitled To God Be the Glory.
To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son. Who yielded his life an atonement for sin and opened the life gates that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. We are going to ask any one of the little tiny tot, by the help of their parents or elder sibling, to open the review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please take the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 day, Sunday labor and do all that work. And the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. Please take the people who's in the Sabbath and the people who's not in the Sabbath. Please take the people who are joining the Sabbath and the people who can't join the Sabbath. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. So we are going to take a few minutes to be able to hear all the blessings that the little one has been in the household with their mommy, their daddy, or the rest of the family, or any area in their life. May you unmute your mic if you would like to share.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. For this week's mommies and daddies helpers, particularly little teachers helpers. Last week, by God's grace, we had the opportunity to travel back home for a family matter. And while we were there back home, Haley and Emma attended school with their cousins. And though they were much older than their little cousins, they were the teacher's helpers. And it was a blessing to see that they were in a different environment and in a different place altogether, where the language is sort of different, but they were able to acclimate and to be able to give a lending hand to the teachers and to the students that were there. So much so that the teacher welcomed them back to come back again another day to be able to come and be their assistant. So that was a blessing for them to have that opportunity and for me to see that they could be little helpers home and abroad. And to the glory of God. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there any remnant family that would like to share their ones? I'll bubble down. We are going to continue. Sabbath blessing to all the dear members and family that are joining us. It is story time, so let's have a listening ear, dear ones, for dear Brother Dick will be able to share the review for part 2 of our chapter 24 entitled The Death of Christ in a story in the book of the story of Jesus.
All right. The Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of John and Luke, John 19:30, KJV. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. In the meantime, the darkness had settled over Jerusalem and the plains of Judea. As all eyes were turned in the direction of the fated city, they saw the fierce lightnings of God's wrath directed toward it. Suddenly, the gloom was lifted from the cross, and in clear trumpet-like tones that seemed to resound throughout creation, Jesus cried, "It is finished! Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." John 19:30 and Luke 23:46. A light encircled the cross, and the face of the Savior shone with the glory like the sun, with a glory like the sun. He then bowed his head upon his breast and died. The multitude about the cross stood paralyzed, and with bated breath gazed upon the Savior. Again darkness settled upon the earth, and a hoarse rumbling like heavy thunder was heard. This was accompanied with a violent earthquake. The people were shaken into piles or heaps by the earthquake. The wildest confusion and terror ensued or followed. In the surrounding mountains, rocks were rent asunder and went crashing down into the plains below. Tombs were broken open, and many of the dead were cast out. Creation seemed to be breaking into atoms. Priests, rulers, soldiers, and people, mute with terror, were lying prostrate upon the ground. They were just down on their faces. This was taken from Story of Jesus, page 146. Amen.
Next Sabbath, we will continue with part 3 of our lesson entitled The Death of Christ in a tiny thought lesson book, The Story of Jesus. And that will take place, dear ones, April 26, 2025. Now I'm going to hand it back to our dear brother so he can do the review with the children.
All right.
What did Jesus cry in clear trumpet-like tones?
The answer to number one is, it is finished.
It is finished. Okay. What was Jesus' final words?
The answer to number two is, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit.
Okay. How did nature react with the death of our Savior?
The answer to number three is the answer to number three is creation seemed to be breaking into atoms.
Atoms, yeah, that's something we can't see. The drawing below shows a drop of water out of a cloud that might be raining. And in that water, there are little things called molecules. And you can't see them either. And in those molecules are atoms. It's what the... everything is made of atoms. And that's the... best description we can give of what the thing said. It was breaking into atoms. Creation seemed to be breaking into atoms, very small pieces. All right, thank you.
Thank you so much, dear Brother Dick. It is time for our tiny tots and parents to learn a precious lesson in our review of God's creation through nature. In our topic, Moms of the Bible review, let's have a listening ear for our dear Brother Josh will share.
Sad blessings, everyone. And here's today's lesson four, horses' legs and hooves. But we'll be looking through the spiritual insights. It's before the nature lesson. And the memory verse for the story is Luke 11:26. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last day of that man is worse than the first. And character quality of the story is industry versus slothfulness. Industry is the habit of working hard and steadily with thoughts and deeds directed by heaven. Our Bible verses for our lesson review is taken from the book of FBL, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 6, The Sower, the Seed, and the Soil. And we're looking at Matthew chapter 13, verse 6. And it says, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Mark 4:6 says, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And Luke 8:6 says, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And withered away. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Matthew 13:6. The hot summer sun that strengthens and ripens the hard grain destroys that which has no depth of root. So he who hath not rooted himself dureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of a word, by and by he is offended. Many receive the gospel as a way of escape from suffering rather than as a deliverance from sin. They rejoice for a season, for they think that religion will free them from difficulty and trial. While life moves smoothly with them, they may appear to be inconsistent Christians, but they faint beneath the fiery test of temptation. They cannot bear reproach for Christ's sake. when the Word of God points out some cherished sin or requires self-denial or sacrifice, they are offended. It would cost them too much effort to make a radical change in their life. They look at the present inconvenience and trial and forget at the eternal realities. Like the disciples who left Jesus, they are ready to say, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" John 6:60. Christ's object lesson, pages 47-48. Are you willing to deny yourself and cooperate with Jesus in doing an industrious work in your life? We do not want to be like the seed that fell on stony ground. Above this picture, above this coach wagon being pulled by two black horses. In earlier days, when America was being settled, horses played an important role. There were many trials and inconveniences in those times, but the horses worked hard for their masters. Above this picture, above this hay wagon, which is also being pulled by horses, the people of that time had to be industrious to survive. If we are to survive spirituality, we must be industrious in following Jesus. If we are to survive spiritually, we must be industrious in following Jesus. And here is a local diagram about a horse's hoof. The red dot is supposed to represent the central sulcus, which is supposed to be sort of the center of a horse's hoof. And you see in the picture, it is right just a few inches above the center. The orange circle represents the heel bulbs, which is supposed to be the rear end of the hoof. The pale lavender circle represents the bar, and that is supposed to be around the. That's supposed to be the outer sides around the frog. Just above the sole, the dark blue circle represents the heel buttress, which is supposed to be the outer edges is around on the or around the on the back of the hoof. The green. The medium green circle represents the apex, which is located right where it's being circled, right on the bottom of the sole. And the pink circle that represents the collateral hooves, which is on the left and right side between, which is on the left and right of the frog. The three little lightning symbols represent the breakover, which is already inside of the toe. The magenta circles represents the water line where the blood flows for the horse first to go in. And it's on the outer edges in the hoof. And finally, the little red head circles represents the light line, which flows the oxygen. And it's right next to the water line. And on our right is another diagram showing the inside edge of the hoof. We have the long plaster bone, which is the main part of the hoof. The deep digital flexor tendon, which is right next to the pastern bone. Then there's the navicular bone, which is under the pastern bone. The short pastern bone, which of course is shorter and directly under it. Then there's the coffin bone, which is under the short pastern bone. The digital cushion, Which is sort of like the heel bone of the hoof. Then there's the frog, like in the left one. Then there's the frog apex, which is the center. Then there's the sole. Then there's the hoof wall. And finally, the white line, which is the inside of the hoof wall. What can we learn from our nature walk experience, dear ones? Let's use our listen ears, little ones. Be right back.
Just a minute, dear one. The computer is kind of dying, so we are going to plug it in. Forgive us. Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family, especially those that will hear the recording later. There was a little intervention. We had to be able to set up the computer. Now he's back. Sabbath blessing.
Sorry, dear ones, I had to fetch my computer charger because it was getting low. It was continuing. Nature, mulching. This is supposed to discuss about the tree limbs covered in moss taken by our Sessler family. What is mulch? It is chopped up leaves, compost, grass clippings, nutshells, peat moss, pine needles, straw, or wood chips. Some gardeners spread mulch among the garden plants. Mulch helps stop the growth of weeds by not allowing them to receive air and sunlight. It also helps the soil hold moisture. You will not need water or to water as often if you use mulch. If weeds do come up through the mulch, pull them by hand. Pulling up weeds can remind you how evil people will conspire to root out the hated set or remnant, but God will intervene. The sweet savor of Christ surrounds them as the mulch surrounds the plant. The fragrance of the life, the loveliness of the character, reveal to the world the fact that they are children of God. Mount of Blessing, page 28. Just as a plant can grow better free of weeds, so the life is a sweet fragrance when it is free of sin. At Christ's coming, it will be revealed who God's obedient children are. If your garden does not have mulch on it, the soil will tend to dry out and harden. Such soil needs frequent stirring. If left standing still, it will crust over, which tends to shed out the rain. So our minds, unless continually stirred and occupied with the things which God has provided to keep them active, become incapable of receiving truth. The influence of Christ's teachings was that he stirreth up the people. Luke 23:5. The teaching about the true Sabbath will soon have this effect of stirring up the people throughout the world. Those who resist this teaching will become hardened against the truth. Next, we have pictures for the cherry blossom and information concerning it. Wow, interesting ones. Peat bloom varies each year in Washington, D.C., but typically occurs around April 4th and can last up to 14 days. The peat bloom is the day when 70% of the Toshina cherry trees are open. The first U.S. cherry trees were planted in 1912 as a gift of friendship from Japan. Over 3,000 trees spanning 12 varieties were shipped from Yokohama to Seattle. They were then transferred to freight cars and sent to Washington, D.C. According to the Huffington Post, these flowers likely originate somewhere in Eurasia before migrating to Japan. Though there are hundreds of different types of cherry trees, Yoshino cherry trees are the most popular. Flowers can range in color from pale pink to bright pink, as well as white and ivory. For example, in Washington, D.C., 70% of the trees are made up of Yoshinos, which have single white blossoms. However, because they are mixed with Akebono cherry trees, the Yoshino was mutated to present pale pink blossoms. While cherry blossom season usually lasts about a month from the time the first to the last tree blooms, each individual tree may only flower for about a week. While D.C. is one of the most popular places to travel during cherry blossom season, you can also see the pre-pink blossoms around the country. People flock to see the pink petals around Boston and Charles River. The Cherry Blossom Walk in Nashville, the Roosevelt Isle Cherry Blossom Festival right here in New York City, and the Missouri Botanical Garden in St. Louis is to name a few. On our top right, we see 22 different types of cherry blossoms and interesting facts, which I just read to all of you. And we see 9 pictures of these blossoms, of how it looked like in this month. And below is a little poem. It says, "Little cherry blossom lived up in a tree, and a very pretty little thing was she. Clad all through the winter in a coat of brown, warm was she though living in a northern town. But one sunny morning, because it was May, I'll not wear, said Blossom, this brown dress today. So let her brown dress drop and blow away, putting on a white one that fine sunny day." Next is about the pond, and like the one assessors have taken as well. Nature, ponds, and lakes. This is back from our water lesson from long ago. A pond is a small, quiet body of water. It is usually not very deep, and the sun warms it to the bottom. Usually plants grow in the bottom. In many places, ponds have many plants and animals that live in or near them. In his home life, boy Jesus was like a quiet pool of water, reflecting the truth about the Father to men. He helped those around him, even to the most unlovely. The ugliest pool of water becomes beautiful if we see the beauty of Jesus around it, reflected in it. You can reflect the truths of Jesus' life and become like a beautiful pool. But we all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18. The word lake comes from a Greek word meaning hole or pond. The simplest lake may also reflect pictures of what is around it, so the simplest mind may reflect the beauty of Jesus' character. Our reference reading of our lesson, Mammals of the Bible Review, taken from our youth study book, Christ Object Lessons, Chapter 2, The Soil Unfolds to Sow, Part 5, continuing. There are very many who claim to serve God, but who have no experimental knowledge of Him. Their desire to do His will is based upon their own inclination, not upon the deep conviction of the Holy Spirit. Their conduct is not brought into harmony with the law of God. They profess to accept Christ as their Savior, but they do not believe that He will give them power to overcome their sins. They have not a personal relation with a living Savior, and their characters reveal defects both hereditary and cultivated. It is one thing to assent in a general way to the agency of the Holy Spirit, and another thing to accept His work as a reprover calling to repentance. Many feel a sense of estrangement from God, a realization of their bondage to self and sin. They make efforts for reform, but they do not crucify self. They do not give themselves entirely into the hands of Christ, seeking for divine power to do his will. They are not willing to be molded after the divine similitude. In a general way, they acknowledge their imperfections, but they do not give up their particular sins. With each wrong act, the old selfish nature has gained strength. I saw the lessons pages as 48 paragraphs 1 and 2. The only hope for these souls is to realize in themselves the truth of Christ's words to Nicodemus. He must be born again. Except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:7-3 margin. Christ object lessons page 48 paragraph 3. Continuing, true holiness is wholeness in the service of God. Christ is the condition of true Christian living. Christ asks for an unreserved consecration, for undivided service. He demands the heart, the mind, the soul, the strength. Self is not to be cherished. He who is to himself is not a Christian. Christ Object Lessons, page 48, paragraph 4. Love must be the principle of action. Love is the underlying principle of God's government in heart and in earth. And it must be the foundation of the Christian's character. This alone can make and keep him steadfast. This alone can enable him to withstand trial and temptation. Christ Object Lessons, page 49, paragraph 1. And love will be revealed in sacrifice. The plan of redemption was laid in sacrifice, a sacrifice so broad and deep and high that it is immeasurable. Christ gave all for us, but those who receive Christ will be ready to sacrifice all for the sake of their Redeemer. The thought of his honor and glory will come before anything else. Christ, Object Lessons, page 49, paragraph 2. If we love Jesus, we shall love to live for him, to present our thank offerings to him, to labor for him. The very labor will be light. For his sake, we shall covet pain and toil and sacrifice. We shall sympathize with his longing for the salvation of men. We shall feel the same tender craving for souls that he has felt. Christ, Object Lessons, page 49, paragraph 3. This is the religion of Christ. Anything short of it is a deception. No mere theory or truth or profession of discipleship will save any soul. We do not belong to Christ unless we are his own. It is by half-heartedness in the Christian life that men become feeble in purpose and changeable in desire. The effort to serve both self and Christ makes one a stony ground here. He will not endure when the test comes upon him. Christ, Object Lessons, page 50, paragraph 1. Here are three bonus questions. Reviewed, you can find the answers either in the Bible, the Christ Object Lesson book, or the lesson book in which they were written on. 1. What happened when the sun came up? Answers in Matthew 13:6. 2. Why? The answer is also Matthew 13:6. And 3, explain what it means when the sun scorched and the plant withered away. You can find the explanation in Christ Object Lessons, pages 47 to 48. I'll turn the mic back to Mom now.
Thank you so much, dear Brother Josh, and we'll be praying for you and keeping you lifted for the allergies by God's grace. And remember, little ones, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. Our opening song is a hymn entitled Fishers of Men, You can find it in the hymn book in number 500. If you would like to share the hymn with us, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. If you follow me, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men if you follow me.
Hear Christ calling, come on to me, come on to me. Come unto me, hear Christ calling, come unto me, I will give you rest, I will give you rest, I will give you rest, hear Christ calling, come unto me, I will give you rest.
Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear ones. We are going to ask any of the elder siblings, mommy, so daddy, so even our guests, to open our family review with prayer. May you mute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Have a blessing for everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up this morning. Please protect us. Please protect people who are here and people who are not here. Please protect me. Please protect the people who are able to join. People who are not able to join. Please protect the word that we're going to be learning. That's going to be about you and how you helped people when you were in the world. Please protect us, as we also know that the word that we're going to be learning about is how you died for us. Please protect everybody that I know. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, dear little one. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from our study book entitled The Desired Ages, but this is in Volume 1, Memory Verse CD. The chapter is 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, King James Version, margin.
As you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, and without spot as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So what have we learned and ways we have grown, dear ones? We will take a few minutes to reread last Sabbath, part one of our part three, entitled By the Sea, once more, in our study book, The Desire of Ages. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear one? May you unmute your mic.
Continuing. Again, Jesus applied the test to Peter, repeating his former words, Simon, son of Jonas, Lovest thou me? This time he did not ask Peter whether he loved him better than did his brethren. The second response was like the first, free from extravagant assurance. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And continuing on the next slide, please.
Once more, the Savior put the trying question. Simon, son of Jonas, love thou me? Peter was grieved. He thought that Jesus doubted his love. He knew that his Lord had cause to distrust him, and with an aching heart, he answered, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Again, Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Desire of Ages, page 812, paragraph 1.
Desire of Ages, page 812. Three times Peter had openly denied his Lord, and three times Jesus drew from him the assurance of his love and loyalty, pressing home that pointed question like a barbed arrow to his wounded heart. Before the assembled disciples, Jesus revealed the depth of Peter's repentance and showed how thoroughly humbled he was the once boasting disciple.
The Desire of Ages, page 812. Peter was naturally forward and impulsive, and Satan had taken advantage of these characteristics to overthrow him. Just before the fall of Peter, Jesus had said to him, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. Next slide, please, and I'll go ahead and I'll bubble down for the next person to read.
Continuing. That time had now come, and the transformation in Peter was evident. The close, testing questions of the Lord had not called out one forward, self-sufficient reply. And because of his humiliation and repentance, Peter was better prepared than ever before to act as shepherd to the flock. Desire of Ages, 812, paragraph 3. And Karina, give my love to faith.
The Desire of Ages, page 812. The first work that Christ entrusted to Peter on restoring him to the ministry was to feed the lambs. This was a work in which Peter had little experience. It would require great care and tenderness, much patience and perseverance. It called him to minister to those who were young in the faith, to teach the ignorant. It says, as on top of, up above, on the left, Jesus said unto him, feed my lambs. And below it says, do you love me? It says, feed my sheep. Next slide, please.
Continuing, to open the scriptures to them and to educate them for usefulness in Christ's service. Heretofore, Peter had not been fitted to do this or even to understand its importance, but this was the work which Jesus now called upon him to do. For this work, his own experience of suffering and repentance had prepared him. Desire of Ages, page 8, paragraph 1.
Continuing the reading. Before his fall, Peter was always speaking inadvisedly. From the impulse of the moment, he was always ready to correct others and to express his mind, before he had a clear comprehension of himself or what he had to say. But the converted Peter was very different. He retained his former fervor, but the grace of Christ regulated his zeal. He was no longer impetuous, self-confident, and self-exalted, but calm, self-possessed, and teachable. He could then feed the lambs as well as the sheep of Christ's flock. The Desire of Ages, page 812, paragraph 5. Amen.
The Desire of Ages, page 815. The Savior's manner of dealing with Peter had a lesson for him and for his brethren. It taught them to meet the transgressor with patience, sympathy, and forgiving love. Although Peter had denied his Lord, the love which Jesus bore him never faltered. Just such love should the under-shepherd feel for the sheep and lambs committed to his care. Remembering his own weakness and failure, Peter was to deal with his flock as tenderly as Christ had dealt with him. Desire of Ages, page 815, paragraph 1.
The question that Christ had put to Peter was significant. He mentioned only one condition of discipleship and service. Love us down me, he said. This is the essential qualification. Though Peter might possess every other, yet without the love of Christ, he could not be a faithful shepherd over the Lord's flock. Knowledge, benevolence, eloquence, gratitude, and zeal are all aids in the good work. But without the love of Jesus in the heart, the work of the Christian minister is a failure. Desire Ages, 815, paragraph 2.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So what have we learned in ways we have grown? Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. We are going to sing a little hymn considering before we begin to answer the question or share. And it's taken from 1 Peter chapter 3:15, King James Version. And it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." For those that are not able to see the screen, I'm just going to read out the 6 questions that we have reserved for our review today. And if you are moved or impressed to be able to share your answer for the edification of the little ones and their parents and guests, you may do so by unmuting your mic. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number 2, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? Number 5, how could you relate to the story? And number 6, what do you learn from this lesson? If you would like to take number 1, dear ones, may you unmute your mic.
The answer to who's the main characters is Peter, Jesus, and the disciples.
Mm-hmm. The answer to number 2, what is the main idea for the section of our story? In this section of our story, we see the loving restoration of Peter, who had denied Christ 3 times, that the Lord asked him, three times the question that was so significant. Lovest thou me? And we saw that by doing that, that he was being restored lovingly by the grace of God. The answer to number three, where did the story take place? We know based on the topic of our lesson that the story took place by the seaside once more.
I believe the for number four, when did the story begin? It began when Peter denied the Lord three times, and the Lord looked upon him who had denied him with sorrow, but with also compassion, and that's how it began.
Amen. And I also want to add to that answer of when the story began. We know that the section of the story is happening after Christ was resurrected and he had seen them and been with them, but they, the disciples, had went back to their regular life. We see that here that they were going back to fishing on the seaside, what they had known before. And so the Lord met them where they were at and was able to be able to grant them this miracle of the restoration here.
How can I relate to this story? As a sinner that has fallen many times in this path, I pray and hope that the Lord, for his restoration, I pray that he will have mercy upon me and that he will bring me to the place that he desired me to be. And that's how I relate. I'm encouraged when I read this story to know that it's with great love and mercy that the Lord restores. And for there's no bounds for him to do this. And being that we are so needful of this mercy, I am thankful to the mercy of God for his love and mercy towards us and the way that he seeks us and restores us.
For number six, what did you learn from this lesson? As we were rereading this lesson, scripture was sticking out in my mind. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. And it was such a blessing to my spirit. And as our dear sister Grace just mentioned, how we have fallen so many times, but the Lord in his mercy has restored us each time. And we are to extend that same thing to those that trespass against us. Even though it is not always easy to do, we see a perfect example here of how lovingly it was done. And by having such an experience, such an intimate experience with something of those, with those that are near you, who hurt you or hurt the ones that you love, that you feel justified within yourself to give them whatever you think that they deserve. But look at how the Lord dealt with Peter. Peter, who walked with him and said that he loved him, but denied him. And the Lord, in his mercy, did not give him what he deserved. He gave him so much more. He restored him. And it's such a wonderful lesson for me. And I pray that the Lord will continue to give that spirit and place this in our minds as we go through day by day dealing with others. And it is a wonderful lesson and a blessing to my heart. And that is what I learned from this lesson.
I would like to share what I learned from this also, too, adding to what Sister Cece and Sister Grace had said. And it's so really beautiful and powerful, because the love that the Lord Jesus poured out on Peter after his open denial and wounding, it really is such a lesson for us to learn on how to treat those who may have wounded us. We're not to hold it against them. We're not to shun them. We're not to find ways in our own mind to excuse away being around them. We should show that same love and give that opportunity to make things mend together, so that the love of Jesus, which is really the center of it all, the love of Jesus Christ glows and shines out to the world, because that is how the world is going to truly know, this is just my understanding, is going to truly know who is with the Lord, who knows him, and it's going to be because of how we love one another, not resent, not be bitter, not hold grudges, how we reach out, how we love, how we forgive one another. I believe that's what I kind of pick up more about that too, to take those stands, because it was Jesus first who asked Peter. Peter didn't talk to Jesus at all. He was too ashamed. But Jesus, in love, even knowing he was hurt, he talked to Peter with such compassion and pity. And I believe, at least in my heart, my understanding, that is how we, I have to say, as Christians to one another, and then also as God gives us strength for those who are not of the household of faith, we have to have that same willingness to reach out if need to first, to give the sacrifice of self. The word of God that comes to me is, greater love hath no man than he that layeth down his life for a friend. And if we are friends to one another in Christ Jesus, and he is our friend of friends, then our life cannot be more important when it comes to healing the wound that may have been, to restore the one who may feel so overwhelmed and dejected, because there is joy unspeakable in that. And then that person gets to go on and live, as we see Peter's life by God's grace, live an exceedingly abundantly full life in Christ. But what would have happened if the Lord would have said, yeah, well, you know what? I don't want to hear what you got to say. No, we need to really be willing to take that first step, if necessary, to put aside our own ideas and own feelings and own beliefs for the sake of that soul who may have stumbled and they're wrong, but we want to love them like Jesus loves them. And if we say that we love Jesus, if we're only saying it with our mouth, then we aren't really saying much. So I learned a lot about that in that area.
I would
go ahead, yeah.
As I find myself enlisted in the army of Christ, which is to seek and save the lost, It's good for me to understand the qualification. As he says to Peter, you know, lovest thou me? And then if you love me, feed my sheep. And so the qualifications for that would be to love Christ. But it's important also to know that the love that we need comes from Christ. He gives us that love, and then we can then go and seek and save the lost. Because as we can see, there's Peter character presented before the fall and has all the fallen nature in the characteristics as the way it's displayed. And when the contrast as to when his heart is now converted, but sometimes it takes a great fall, as we can see with Peter, for the conversion to finally come about. And it's great lessons in this study for all of this. And the qualification indeed is, if we love the Lord, we'll feed his sheep, and we pray that the Lord give us his love to do such.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We are so grateful for all the input. And also, I just wanted to touch upon one of the main lesson that the Lord was trying to do this in front of all the brothers that was present, because Peter had openly, publicly rejected Christ, and the same amount of time that he had done it, maybe he didn't really realize why he was asking three times the question, if that was the same amount of time that he had actually proclaimed openly the rejection of his Savior, and also with Christ. And to give also the disciples that were present to know how Jesus felt about him and what was for him not to be removed from his position, because the Lord wanted them to know that he is the one that was the main object, the key. Without the love that he will have for Jesus, he will not be able to have that love for nothing else that the law was going to have for him in the future of what it was that he wanted him to do. So the first question that was asked is because that was the first action that was done. And at the same time, to lift their condition of sorrow, because they used to have a certain way of having their livelihood as fishermen. And they was going to go back to do the same thing when their Lord already had separated them, and they was going to start doing their new life to be able to work with him. I just want to be able to encourage anyone that may be having a difficult time in the sense of not finding a job or not being in the place that they think that they would like to belong. Just remember that in the firm or in the gospel, they have many, many, many positions, many things to be filled. So if you're having difficulties receiving something to do, pray and ask the Lord. He maybe already had prepared you for something that he wants you to do to his honor and glory, and yet able to take care of you and your family. And welcome to all the dear brethren. I just wanted to share that. And anybody else would like to share before we move on?
Yes. That went out my head. Sorry.
It's okay, dear sister. We're still going to have more time to be able to discuss, because we have not finished with the chapter. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. We have thoughts, favorite poem, and special music. The thought is taken from the Spirit of Prophecy book entitled Maranatha of chapter 97 entitled One-to-One Witnessing. The reflection is entitled Worldly Amusement. And our opening scripture is taken from John 3:16, King James Version, and it reads, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? Major Mijamai.
Why are not all who claim to love God seeking to enlighten their neighbors and their associates that they may no longer neglect this great salvation? Christ gave himself to a shameful, agonizing death, showing his great travail of soul to save the perishing. Oh, Christ is able, Christ is willing, Christ is longing to save all who will come unto him.
From Maranatha, page 105, paragraph 2, and continuing to 3, talk to souls in peril and get them to behold Jesus upon the cross, dying to make it possible for him to pardon. Talk to the sinner with your own heart overflowing with a tender, pitying love of Christ. Let there be deep earnestness, but not a harsh, loud note should be heard from the one who is trying to win the soul to look and live. Amen.
First, have your... Somebody wants to go? First, have your own consecrated, your own soul consecrated to God. As you look upon our intercessor in heaven, let your heart be broken. Then softened and subdued, you can address repenting sinners as one who realized the power of redeeming love. Pray with these souls by faith, bringing them to the foot of the cross. Carry their minds up with your mind and fix the eyes of faith where you look upon Jesus, the Savior. Get them to look away from their poor sinful selves to the Savior, and the victory is won. They behold for themselves the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. They see the way, the truth, and the life. The Sun of Righteousness sheds its bright beams unto the heart. The strong tide of redeeming love pour into the parched and thirsty soul, and the sinner is saved through Jesus Christ. Maranatha, page 105, paragraph 4.
Christ crucified. Talk it, pray it, sing it, and it will break and win hearts. This is the power and wisdom of God to gather souls for Christ. Formal set phrases, the presentation of merely argumentative subjects, it's productive of little good. The melting love of God in the hearts of the workers will be recognized by those for whom they labor. Souls are thirsting for the waters of life. Do not be empty cisterns. If you reveal the love of Christ to them, you may lead the hungering, thirsting ones to Jesus, and he will give them the bread of life and the water of salvation. Maranatha, 105, paragraph 5.
Reflection. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, King James Version. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God and the daughters. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. If there is anything in our world that should inspire enthusiasm, it is the cross of Calvary. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons and daughters of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Christ is to be accepted, believed on, and exalted. This is to be the theme of conversation. The preciousness of Christ. Counsels to parents, teachers, and students, page 338, paragraph 1.
I apologize for the computer. It's kind of going a little bit fast. But praise the Lord indeed. We have a poem and it's entitled, We Are Pilgrims, taken from Children Bible Activity Book, Year 1, Quarter 1, Lesson 9, page 164, from Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take one of the 8-year ones?
We are pilgrims on our journey to a goodly promised land. Jesus is our valiant leader, and we march at his command.
Come, dear children, and go with us. We will strive to do you good. We will lead you to the Savior, who for you has shed his blood.
But methinks I hear you asking, what shall be my great reward? What shall be my great reward if I leave all sinful pleasures and from henceforth serve the Lord?
Let me tell you.
Go ahead, John.
Let me tell you, life eternal, bliss unending, joys untold, robes of white and palms of victory, dazzling crowns and hearts of gold.
You may drink of life's pure river and from life's fair tree partake. Jesus will come forth and serve you who have suffered for his sake.
And the Father's unveiled glory, you with open face shall see, while redeeming love shall crown you kings to all eternity.
Language fails me, half the story must and will remain untold, till we climb the hill of Zion, till we walk the street of gold.
Then, and not until then, shall mortals of salvation know the price, nor the boundless love can fathom, or redemption's sacrifice. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Our special music is taken from the Scripture Song, Volume 2 of the Memory Verse CD. Taking from the 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 King James.
Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given
Love the Father has given. Christ. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be
If you have any testimony, dear ones, that you would like to share, we still have in between the services, so even after all the services, dear one. So next week, we will continue with our part four of our lesson, By the Sea, once more in our study book, The Desired Ages. We would like to have closing prayer, dear ones. May you unmute your mic.
We bow our heads on our knees as far as we can. Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. We thank you, Father, for bringing us here once more to worship you and to receive all the blessings that you have for us in store in this Sabbath day. We thank you for this portion that we have received that is very needy to looking upon your love and mercy towards us and how you go about restoring us, Father Jesus, and we are so thankful, Father Jesus, and we look forward for that restoration. Thank you for all the little ones and their participation. Please bless their parents. We pray for anyone that is sick, not feeling well. Father Jesus, please put a healing hand upon them. As we go into the next sections of the study, we pray for our dear brother that you will give him the word. Father Jesus, continue to bless us in the second and third sections of our study today. Continue to elevate our minds towards you. And we thank you once more for your love and mercy. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, that will be continue with part four of our lesson entitled By the Sea Once More over chapter 85. And that will be lesson 433. And that will be held April the 26th, 2025. Leaving the scripture and also another quote from that thought of that we have of the book, which is in Maranatha. This one is in page 78, paragraph 4, and the scripture is taken from 1 John 3:5, King James Version, and it reads, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." And from our quote, it says, "By his perfect obedience, he has made it possible for every human being to obey God's commandments. When we submit ourselves to Christ, the heart is united with his heart. The will is merged in his will. The mind becomes one with his mind. The thoughts are brought into captivity to him. We live his life. This is what it means to be clothed with the garment of his righteousness. Then as the Lord looks upon us, he sees not the fig leaf garment, not the nakedness and deformity of sin, but his own robe of righteousness, which is perfect obedience to the law of Jehovah." May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and God bless, especially those that are just coming in. Sabbath blessing, dear ones.